beyond measure. His love knows no bounds. But today, I don't know about you guys, but we have so much to be thankful for. We've got Karen Kopp back, Kathy Chafee back, Carl back, and when one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. And it's been a struggle for all of us, not only for you guys, but just pouring out our love, our prayers to you guys. So we have a lot to be thankful for today. Just a lot. So we'll just open with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time of thanksgiving. But truly, Lord, every day is a time of thanksgiving. Lord, you've given abundantly, exceedingly more than we could ever think of or dream of. And we just pray, Lord Jesus, that today you'll open up our hearts to your word. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will move in and amongst us today, Lord. And we're just so grateful and so thankful for you and all you do in our life each and every day. Okay, for announcements, men's Bible study will be on tomorrow night from 6 to 8 o'clock. All men are certainly welcome. And I believe they're still studying Romans. Yep, okay. This Wednesday night's prayer meeting is going to be canceled, of course, for Thanksgiving. Tonight, there's a community Thanksgiving service held at the First United Methodist Church downtown, and it starts at 6 o'clock, and all are welcome. I believe in your bulletin there's more information on that. The office will be closed Thursday due to Thanksgiving Day. And thank you to all that participated in Operation Christmas Child. We delivered 59 boxes, so that's a good thing. Yep. Yeah, so it was good. Is God impressing on your heart the need to serve the body on Sunday mornings? We could use some help. There are areas like preparing communion, greeting people at the front door when they come in, or helping run the lyrics for worship. And I'm assuming that's a pro presenter. So if there's anyone that's got any, yeah, Adam is like, it's Adam's job, but he needs help. So if there's any areas, we certainly could use it. So just tell Pastor or Shay or somebody in charge, kind of, if you're interested. Okay, Shay. Shay's the one. Okay. Women's Fellowship, there's a sign-up sheet out front. It's going to be held, it's a brunch being held at Shay's house. Is it the 4th? December 4th at 10 a.m. And sign up if you plan on going so that they have a good number. Next Sunday, we're going to start decorating the church for Christmas, not on Sunday, but if any of you people would like to help decorate, would you let me know? Because we need the help. It's a big church, and I mean, we don't do anything real fancy, but we need the help. And so I'd like to be able to find out what day, what time work best for as many people as we can get. Many hands make light work, and it just is nice if we can just get together and do that. And I think that's it.
Yes. Thank you. I was about to go.
Hi, everybody. Just so everybody knows, we have something very exciting coming up. God put it on my heart to kind of hold a cookie decorating, like, outreach. So it will be a family cookie fest, and it will be for families to come in and decorate all sorts of wonderful cookies, and so that will be going on the 19th. Now, I would like you to, if you feel the call, if you would want to start praying into it and start telling other people, other families that you might know, whether it be families that are in need or even just families looking to have a good time who could learn a little bit more about Jesus or get to know Jesus a little better. So that'll be on the 19th, which is a Sunday after church.
Am I on? I am now. I've noticed that at Christmas time, people are more open to the gospel, I think, than any other time of the year. They just are. People are more open to hear about Jesus. They're more open to receive something. It's just an easier time. And ladies, I just want to put a plug in for that ladies' brunch. There are ladies that might not feel comfortable coming to church, but they might feel really comfortable coming to somebody's house with a friend and having a nice Christmas brunch. What a cool opportunity. You don't even have to invite them to church. You invite them to have a nice get-together that's Christmas-centered. And when we say Christmas-centered, we know what that means. Yeah, Jesus-centered. It's a wonderful opportunity. There are kids in the community who would love to come and make cookies. And Shelby's... Pardon? It's a free event. People can come. Shelby's going to be putting up, we'll be putting up posters. And that date, the 19th, is a Sunday afternoon. So it'll be happening after church. And hopefully kids and families will want to come and make some cookies and hear about Jesus. Yeah. Testimonies today. Anybody have a testimony of what something that God has done in your life? Going once, going twice. I know there's testimonies out there. Rita.
Well,
I think this is still up. Hang on. We want to get it so that it's on the recording too. Thank you.
Well, I have a phrase. It might seem kind of weird, but our granddaughter, had a car accident. Thank God she hit a tree. Because if she would have went further, it would have went down over an embankment. She's okay. Car's not. But I praise God that she's okay.
Amen. 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 Many times I can thank God for His protection. A few things that I'd like to ask you to pray over. I'm sorry to say that last week we brought a very positive report about Dick Peck, and he was doing better, and probably many of you have heard that a few days later he passed away in the hospital. It was a very, very heartbreaking thing for the family, and I want to ask you to please lift up the Peck family. Very, very difficult time. A family who's been involved at the Riverside Assembly of God, but we've had connections with them for years, and just a very, very hard time for them. It's a hard time. It's always hard to lose someone, but given the circumstances and the season, it's especially hard. So please remember the family of Dick Peck. Father, in Jesus' name, we lift them up to you today, and Lord, we just pray that you would bless and comfort them in this difficult time. Father, and we're talking about giving thanks today. Lord, it's a tough season for them to give thanks, and yet they know that Dick is in the presence of God. And Lord, we thank you for that. We have that hope. We know that Dick has passed from death to life. And Lord, we give you thanks for that today. And yet it's so hard for his family, Lord. Comfort and reach them, Father, we pray. Be with our sisters who are facing surgery this week. We pray for Kate Rulison. God, that you would help her. And Father, as they go in and work on that hip, God, we pray if there's anything that isn't right in there, that they would find it and fix it. Lord, that her hip would stay in place. God, in Jesus' name, touch her, Lord. Touch her, Father, and make her whole, Lord. God, we pray for Judy. God, even as she's looking at surgery, Father,
that you would give her doctors wisdom that she could be delivered from pain, Lord. Touch her. Give her your grace, Lord, and we thank you. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you that you are a good God. In Jesus' name. I want to thank lots of you for the very thoughtful expressions and gifts for Pastor Appreciation Month. Lots of people sent us cards, and some gave us gifts, and church gave us a nice gift, and suffice to say that we do feel appreciated. And more than feeling appreciated, we want you to know how much my wife and I, we appreciate you. We appreciate each of you and what you mean to the body and what you bring to the body. So thank you. Thank you so much. We do appreciate it. Last week we talked about contacting our town and village board, and I just want to bring that up to you again. We are facing in our village and in our town having marijuana dispensaries and consumption sites opened up for the general public. This is not medical use. This is just anybody can come in and buy it, age 21 and over, and if you have any insider knowledge at all, you know that it's going to filter down to the kids anyway. It's, in my estimation, it's just a disastrous idea for our region. And so last week I made available town board members, town planning board members, village board members, and a note on the back with some bullet points about things. I just learned this morning that vote is going to happen tomorrow. They are going to vote on having that tomorrow. So if you want to make your feelings known to your representatives in this region, you need to do it right away. And the best way to do it, there's lots of email addresses here and there's lots of phone numbers. Ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to let your representatives know how you feel about that. There are more of these on the back table, the round table in the back. We know that I'm not a political activist. I don't believe in running around and picketing and having signs. And Jesus is ultimately what's going to change someone's heart in life. But ladies and gentlemen, we cannot afford to lose any more territory to the kids in our area. And it's just going to take us down a deeper hole. God help us. Please, if you feel to, let your representatives know. They need to hear from the church. God help us. I want to wish to all of you and your families a wonderful Thanksgiving. We will not be meeting for Wednesday night prayer meeting. I imagine lots and lots of you will be either having family come or you'll be going to family. And we're praying that God will give you safe travel and a wonderful time. And know that as you go, sometimes when you're with family, Thanksgiving can be a really nice time and it can be a really hard time because you're getting together with family, but you're getting together with family. And, you know, it's a double-edged sword. Sometimes it's just, oh, you're so happy to see them, but then, oh, they're them. And there are things that you have to face within your family. And I know all about that. We have some things we face within our family. And so know that you are an ambassador for Christ. And on Thanksgiving Day, you can be a missionary to your family. Take the opportunity. Pray at your Thanksgiving table. Read the scriptures. Give thanks to God for what He's done in your life. Share your testimony. If people want to know what you're thankful for, tell them. Tell them, I'm thankful that Jesus saved me from my sins. It's an open door. Ladies and gentlemen, take it as God leads you. as the Lord leads, he'll be faithful. Glory to God. All right, we're going to move on. Hey, were you excited to find out we gave 59 boxes to Christmas Child? Our little church did 59 boxes, yes! And they're going to go out, and God is going to use them in a great and mighty way. Glory to His name. Today we're going to start in Romans chapter 12. So if you have your Bible, you're going to want to turn there. I don't have all of those scriptures up. I have a boatload of scriptures to look at today, but we're going to just touch on them quickly. We're going to pop through them. Lots of them I have to go up on the screen, but we're not going to read a lot of them in their entirety. But take them down. If you're given to taking notes, jot them down. You know what? I found that I like to take notes during the sermon time, and I've discovered that if I take notes during the sermon, even if I never look at them again, it helps me to remember them. I don't know. So the teacher in me is telling you, take notes. It's helpful. It's helpful. Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to read the first 8 verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Or some of your versions will say, which is your spiritual service of worship. Probably a little bit better rendering. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, some of your Bibles may use the word encourages. He who exhorts or encourages, in exhortation. He who gives, with simplicity. Some of your Bibles may say generosity or liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your body. We thank you for your gifts. And Lord, we're asking for the whole package. Lord, we want the full gospel. We want all that you have to give us, Father. And so we thank you today that you want to pour out of your Spirit and of your gifts. And Lord, we just want to receive everything that you have to give us today. Help us, Father, as we look into your word. Speak to our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. The beginning of Romans 12:1 simply says that there's four simple, pretty simple points here. Number one, offer your body. Wow, that's not such a simple point, is it? Offer your body. God doesn't ask for your time. He doesn't ask for your talent. He doesn't ask for your money. He wants your body. If he gets your body, he gets everything else with it. And what he wants you to do is climb up on that altar. And the Israelites, when it was not lost on Paul, they knew what he meant. The sacrifice that went up onto the altar, what was going to happen to it? It was going to die. It was going to be given as an irrevocable sacrifice. So Paul very carefully says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. The only problem being that we have the choice to crawl back down off the altar. And at times, have you ever done that? Yeah, well, it's possible. But putting yourself on the altar is not just a sacrifice. It's yielding yourself to get up on the operating table as well. It gives God an opportunity to do a little work on you. Oh, God, I need a lot of work. We prayed about surgery today, but boy, sometimes I think, God, oh, surgerize me. Do it, Lord. Work in my heart and in my life. But it happens as we offer our bodies on the altar. And then secondly, he says, transform your mind. So we offer our body, we transform our mind. In other words, change the way you think. Change the way you think. We start, in other words, go from the old way that you used to think to the way God thinks. How do we do that? The scripture talks about the washing of water by the word. How that it the transforming of our mind, the renewing of our mind as we read the scriptures, as we meditate on what God said is true, as we spend time in his presence, our minds get transformed. Number three, he says, walk in humility. Everyone ought not to think of himself more highly as he ought to think, but walk in humility. And then he talks about the body of Christ. Walk in humility and accept your place in the body. Accept your place. We've been talking and talking about spiritual gifts, and last week we talked about the body of Christ, about some people being the hands, some people being the feet, some people being the eyes, some people being the ears, some people being the little toe on your foot that's the furniture finder. You know, whatever part of the body that God has made you to be is absolutely vital, to the life of the body. And then finally, we get to verse 6, and he calls to service. And he talks about various gifts. We have spent the last number of weeks talking about the supernatural gifts of the Spirit out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And now we're shifting just a little bit. I want to continue to look at spiritual gifts, but these gifts are not necessarily the same kind of supernatural manifestation that we see when we look at the nine that we read about in 1 Corinthians 12. But they are nevertheless gifts imparted to us by the Holy Spirit that God uses for the good of the body. And I want to take a few minutes, and I hope this doesn't sound like a college lecture. Well, it might, but I'd like to march through some of these giftings. And what I'm praying and hoping is that as we look at them, the little light bulb's going to go on, ding, over your head, and you're going to say, oh, that sounds like me. Ooh, I think God could use me in that way. Or maybe it'll just be a confirmation of what you're doing. But know that God has a gifting and a purpose for you in the body of Christ. And so we start out, he talks about in verse 6, it says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If one's gift is prophecy, let him use it in proportion to his faith. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about prophecy today. We've already looked at that. That is one of those distinctively supernatural manifestations. But suffice to say, if you are praying or you're in the body or you're in worship time and you hear the Lord speak something to you prophetically, I want to encourage you to give it. Speak it. If it's to share with somebody else, share it. If you hang on to it out of fear, that's not love. That's not love. And I often will have the sense that there are people in the body and they're hearing things. Don't let the devil lie you out of it. Believe God and speak it forth. Now, if you're hearing things and you didn't, and you're hearing me say this morning, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I just know there are times where I've been in a service and I've just been burning up with the Word of God. And I fight it. Ooh, fought it. Did not want to give it. And I didn't. And then, do you know what it's like to go home after church afterward? And then the pastor gets up and he starts preaching what you were going to say. And you go home and you want to die. or at least I do. I go home and I have to have my little dart, you know, little Abner, the guy that walks around with the clouds over his head. You know, the Lord doesn't want that. What he says is, okay, get the message, adjust your path, walk on. Suffice to say. So if God wants to use you in a prophetic word, I just want to encourage you to do it. And if you've been holding back, now's the time to launch forth. But I want to move on today to, it says, if it is serving, let him serve. Do you know that service is a gift of the Holy Spirit? Some of your Bibles might say ministry. Gifts of service. A gift of service is just simply, well, one of the, it's also in 1 Corinthians 12 listed as the gift of helps. I look at that those as kind of the same thing. There are some people who would teach them a little differently. I see gifts of service or ministry and gifts of helps as really being the same thing. The word helps in 1 Corinthians 12 only appears one time right there. It's the Greek word entelepsis. And it just means to lay hold of or to help or one who aids. And Acts chapter 6, I don't think I put that one up there, so I'm going to just turn there. If you have your Bible and you want to read there, you can. Acts chapter 6, we see a very poignant example of a gift of service. Acts 6, verse 1. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, and when he says multiplying, he's not adding, multiplying. I mean, there was a lot of people that were getting saved all at once. There were new believers all over the place. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists. Those were Jews who held to the more of a Greek tradition. And there was kind of, there were the Jewish Jews and the Greek Jews. And there was some conflict there, as one tended to hold more to Greek traditions and the other one was holding more to traditional Hebrew traditions. There arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. Well, maybe somebody of the Jewish side of the Hebrews were kind of cranky about the Hellenists and decided, well, I don't feel like helping their widows out. I'm not sure, but there was a problem there. So then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So the apostles recognized that they could not sacrifice their teaching gift to serve in that way. But yet it was a need. So they said, find people who are gifted, who will serve. Stephen was one of those people. What was Stephen's first ministry? Helping the little widow ladies have their dinner. That's what he did. He was a blessing to the nursing. He had a nursing home ministry, if I could say it that way. That's what it was. And then what did he do later? It says that he was faithful and the Holy Spirit used him mightily in signs and wonders and miracles, so much so he became a threat and they took him and he got blessed with the gift you only get to use once, the gift of martyrdom, that nobody's signing up for. But there was a need and a service. And that gift of service was a blessing to the body of Christ, and it released ministry. It released the apostles to be able to minister. You see, we have this idea that maybe if we're not actively out preaching the gospel or we're not up front, that our ministry isn't really that important. How important was it that these widow ladies got taken care of? It was really important. See, we're the ones that put importance on things, that say, oh, this ministry is more important, that ministry is more important. No. No. Remember Jesus saw the widow that put the two mites in, and what did he say? Oh, she's put in more than anybody else. So if it's a gift that the Holy Spirit has gifted you, do it with all your might before God. It's just as important as somebody who's up front in front of everybody. We get things backwards sometimes in that way. 2 Timothy 1:16. I think I do have that one. Go ahead, Adam. May the Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, because he has often refreshed me and was unashamed of my chains. Indeed, when he arrived in Rome, he searched diligently until he found me. May the Lord grant Onesiphorus his mercy on that day. You know very well how much he ministered to me in Ephesus. So this guy was a guy that had a gift of service. He heard Paul was there in Ephesus. He hunted for him. And then when he says he served him, I imagine he met his basic needs. Just did whatever Paul needed him to do. Get him this, make him dinner, I don't know. But apparently he was a tremendous blessing. Luke 8, 2 and 3, we see, go ahead. No, you just passed it. There you go. Jesus was traveling from town to town, and in verse 2, some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, Joanna, the wife of Herod's household manager, Chuza, Susanna, and many others. These women were ministering to them out of their own means. One of the reasons that Jesus was released in his ministry to do and travel and do all that he did was because there was this group of itinerant ladies that followed him around and did all the stuff. I mean, maybe they did the dishes for all of the disciples and Jesus, and maybe they cooked them. I don't know what they did, but it said they provided for their, they ministered, they provided for their needs out of their own substance. They just did it. They followed and they did it, and God blessed them, and they get a line in one of the Gospels, ooh, but a crown in heaven, because they were the reason that Jesus was released to do what he did. He was a man. He had to eat. He had to travel. He had to do this stuff. How many of you know, doesn't it take a lot of your energy in your life just to live? You have to get up. You have to eat. You have to have clean clothes. You've got to do stuff. And they helped him. They ministered to him. Acts 9:36. I think I put that one up there. Maybe I didn't. No, I didn't. This is Tabitha Dorcas. She dies, and what was she remembered for? She made garments and tunics. She was known as somebody who just made all kinds of clothing and gave it away to everybody. And after she died, they were weeping and crying and showing them the tunics that and all the things that she had made before her passing, before she rose, was brought back from the dead. But a wonderful blessing to the area. Romans 16:1-2. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea. Welcome her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her with anything she may need from you, for she has been a great help to many people, including me. Wow, really cool sister. She must have been a super blessing, and just willing to serve. Just a person who was willing to serve. Helpers in the body of Christ, how we need them. Can I encourage you, though, if you are a helper or if you feel called to helping, I want to encourage you to pray and be sure that you are being led of the Spirit. Because even in that, there is a leading of the Spirit, and helpers are the kind of giving people who just like to jump in and help with everything. Oh, you need that? I'll help with that. Can I help with that? Here, I'll do that. Do you know people who are like that? They're just helpers. And they are also the people who get taken advantage of the most. And they're the ones that get burned out because they do everything. And there is a danger with them of them stepping into ministry, out of their desire to help, stepping into ministries where they are neither called or gifted. So you do want to be led of the Spirit. It's a wonderful gift and a ministry to help. But have an ear to the Spirit and what God is saying. And know that it's a precious gift, but still one that we submit to the Holy Spirit, always, always. Back in Romans 12, it says, if serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. Now, this is an interesting thing because we also know that the gift of teaching or teacher is what we call one of the fivefold gifts we read about in Ephesians. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. So there is an office or a fivefold ministry of teacher in the body of Christ. But then there is also that gift of teaching that operates. So it's kind of like the gift of prophecy and the prophet. There is a person who can have the office of the prophet who is going to move in that gifting differently in a mightier, probably a greater measure. And then there's the gift of prophecy that people in the body are express. So the same thing with teaching. It's the Greek word didaskalos. It just simply means to instruct. It's the gift that God gives to certain members to communicate information of health and ministry to the body. Acts 18, we read about Apollos, a native of Alexandria. He came to Ephesus, and it says that he was an eloquent man, well-versed in the scriptures. Verse 26, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Priscilla and Aquila came along and said, Let's help you with your message a little bit. And they encouraged him. But in verse 27, on his arrival, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Acts 20:20, Paul says, I did not shrink back from declaring anything that was helpful to you, as I taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and Greeks alike about repentance to God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's such a need in the body of Christ for line upon line and precept upon precept teaching, good understanding of what the Scripture says. And we have people in the body here that God is gifting you with teaching. I know some of you, and I'm going to be after some of you. And if some of you in your mind just thought, uh-oh, that might be the Holy Spirit giving you a nudge. God wants to use you to teach. Do you know Jesus commanded us to teach? Matthew 28, in the Great Commission, he said, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. The teacher in a church looks out and sees a bunch of empty heads, wants to fill them. The servant, the helper, sees a bunch of needs and wants to meet them. The next in Romans 12, again, as I said, we're going to march right down the list today, is if it is encouraging, let him encourage. Or your Bible might say, if it's exhortation, let him exhort. That word encouraging or exhorting is parakaleo. It means, this is such a rich word in the Greek. It has so many different facets. It means to entreat, to admonish, That almost sounds like correction, but in the very next it says to comfort, to encourage, to console, to give joy and gladness. Do you see the range of meaning in that word when it talks about encouraging and exhorting? So in other words, it's saying to encourage or to help somebody, even if it's in an admonishing kind of way, always pressing them in a godly way toward Christ and what God wants. And I cannot tell you how wonderful the gift of encouragement is. I had somebody encourage me this week. I don't even know if they knew they were encouraging me. I'm going to tell you, it was this guy right here, Pat Regan. He said a couple things to me after men's Bible study out in the foyer, and something, it unlocked something in my spirit. All of a sudden, something where I had buried some heaviness, it just went click. I felt it lift. Because he spoke to, I don't know if you even know how encouraging that was to me. It was a blessing. So helped me. That encouragement, the encouragement is where the encourager sees things in people and gives them that nudge. Says, hey, you can do this. This is good. Hey, go do it. The teacher sees, the teacher says, this is the way you should go. The encourager says, I will help you to go in that way. I will help you to go in that way. If you have that gift of encouragement, oh, I encourage you to encourage. What a wonderful thing it is. We have the example of Barnabas in the scriptures. He was called the son of encouragement in Acts chapter 4. And we see him, I'm not going to go to all of the scriptures, but we see him first. Saul gets converted, knocked off his horse by a blinding light, is blind, gets healed. Ananias, comes and prays for him. His sight is restored. He's baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he wants to go and see the disciples, and they're all freaked out. None of them want him anywhere near because he's been dragging people off to prison. He's probably had people killed, and they didn't believe it. They thought it was a trick. And it says Barnabas took him. I can just imagine Barnabas coming around, putting his arm around him and say, come on, I'll help you. And he brings him, says Barnabas brought him. And Barnabas told them what had happened to him. And then now we have Paul. Again, John Mark goes on a missionary journey with Barnabas and Paul, and he gets sick of it. I don't know what happens, but he deserts them. He leaves them. He's out of there. And when Paul and Barnabas are ready to go on another journey, Barnabas wants to give Mark a second chance. Well, Paul says, not him. He's the one that lit out on us. And Barnabas said, no, I want to give him a second chance. Let's take him. And the contention was so great that Barnabas and Paul split, and Paul went with Silas, and Barnabas went off with Mark. But I think Barnabas was right, because later on, Paul writes, please be sure to bring John Mark with you. He is useful to me for the ministry. Oh, the second chance that comes through the gift of encouragement. Oh, God, how we need that. Is that something that God's using you with? If you're an encourager, you get out and encourage people. I want to encourage you to encourage. Next on our list in Romans, it says, if it is giving, let him give generously. The gift of giving is possibly one of the most abused when it is taught in the most abusive way in the kingdom of God over history. It's the Greek word melodidomai. It just means to share, impart, bestow. It's the gift of being able to contribute your material resources cheerfully above and beyond the tithes and offerings that any Christian ought to give. The Lord impresses everybody to be a giver. We're all taught to bring our tithes or bring our offerings. But then there are people who are specially gifted. God puts it on them, whether they have lots of means or not, they're able to just financially pour out and pour out and pour out and pour out. And God seems to pour into them and they pour out, and God pours more in and they pour out. And there are some people in the body of Christ who teach that that's the normal Christian life. I want to tell you, it's not. It's a gift. God does not call everybody to give all their finances away. He doesn't do that. He tells people, take care of your family, pay your bills, be responsible. And yet there are people in the body of Christ who say, if you'll just give us all of your money, God will reward you back and he'll pour. I'm sorry, there is a gifting for that. And I do not believe that everybody's supposed to send their money to brother so-and-so that they saw on the TV. I guess I'm not going to go too much farther into that. But you remember last week I shared the testimony of Alphaeus Hardy, who so wanted to be a minister, felt like he wanted to serve. He had such a burning desire to serve the Lord, and he assumed that meant he was supposed to be a minister. And when he got into college, his health failed and he couldn't go on. And he was so desperately unhappy. And then the Lord revealed to him that he had a gift for business. And he said, I can make money. And Alphaeus Hardy, oh yeah, he made money. He made a lot of money. Oh, what a business he started. But he just gave it all away. He supported missionaries here and there, and he just gave it and gave it and gave it and gave it. And he's the reason in the 1800s that there was a missionary effort in Japan. And yet he was so sad because he didn't get to be a minister. But that's never what God wanted. He wanted to gift him in a way that was going to propel the kingdom of God much more than if he was ever a minister in a church somewhere. There was an evangelist that came to a, I want to make sure I have this right, to a college campus. There's a guy, his name is Dr. Larry Gilbert. He's a teacher in the body of Christ, but at the time he was a student at this college. And an evangelist came and began to preach messages about giving. And how God will bless you when you give, and how cast your bread upon the waters and it will come to you. And he had powerful messages about giving, and the students really caught this message, and they started to give, and they gave, and they gave, and they were giving their money to each other, and they were giving it to this guy, and everything was wonderful until about 3 weeks when student bills came due. And a whole bunch of students had given all their money away and they couldn't pay. See, that evangelist neglected to teach that giving is a gift. And not everybody's called to give that away. We are all members of the body of Christ. Some people are a hand, some people are a foot. Some people are an eye, some people are an ear. We can't afford to get that mixed up. Gifts of, well, we've got, let's run on here. If it is leading, let him lead with diligence. In 1 Corinthians 12:28, it talks about administering or administration. They're kind of similar. I'm going to kind of lump them together today, the gift of administration and the gift of leadership. They're sort of the same and sort of not, but for sake of time, Romans 12:8, he who leads, that is proestemi, it means just to preside over or to direct or to maintain. to preside over or to direct. But there's another really important facet of that word, and it's the rest of it. It also means it is to be a protector or a guardian. Do you hear the other side of that leadership? This is not leadership, somebody who takes charge and tells you what to do. It's with the idea that they're going to be the one in front. They're the one looking out to see if things are safe. They're the one that's looking out to take care of people, to be a protector, to be a guardian. That's the other idea of leadership. Administration, in 1 Corinthians 12, where we also read that, kubermesis, it means steering or guiding or governing or the administration. It's the gift to organize and lead effectively, to set things in order, and to be able to work with long-range goals and make plans and organize things to meet those goals. We have people in this church that are really good with that. It's really, really good that we have an office manager that's good at that, because I don't know if that's really my gift. Oh, Shay, she's just so... If I worked in the office, oh, God help us. I did it again today. Do you believe I did it again today? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? We didn't take the offering again. Do you know, when I came, we had this offering box up here. And for months and months, there was never any offering. Whoop! Shay, I was bound and determined I was going to live by that. And she makes me this nice list. When I get off the list, oh, I get in trouble. Here we even talked about gift of giving today. Wow. The place will... So the place will be in the back when you leave. If you have an offering, I do want you to know that we appreciate it, but I guess you know I'm not here to be after your money. Oh, but we do need to keep the lights on. We do need to have heat in the building. There are things that have to be done, and so it's a blessing to get to give. Wow. Thank God you're here, Shay. I don't know. She's the one that keeps the office running, and you know, she reminds me of stuff. When I first met you, what was the first thing I did? Shay, you're going to have to remind me stuff all the time. I think I something like that. She's been very... She does it nicely. My wife reminds me too. Shay's nicer than my wife sometimes, though. Oh, God. Administration and leadership. What a gift, though. Acts 7. Wow, we're really letting it all hang out today. Acts 7, 9 through 10 really is a throwback to the Old Testament. Stephen is giving his discourse before the Sanhedrin, and he's talking about the patriarchs. He said, because the patriarchs were jealous of Joseph, they sold him as a slave into Egypt, but God was with him and rescued him from all his troubles. He granted Joseph favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who appointed him ruler over Egypt and all his household. And God gave Joseph a plan that he was able to administrate that saved the entire land of Egypt and who knows how many thousands of other people from starvation during a famine. Hebrews 13:17 tells us, obey your leaders and submit to them. Why? Because they're the boss and you better listen. I hope not. Because they know better. Because they're God's man or woman. For they watch over your souls as those who must give an account. So your leaders, it says, submit to them as they try to help and protect you. So there's, again, that idea of leadership. There's a protectoral type of ministry to that. Titus 1, 4, and 5, Paul admonished Titus. He said, the reason I left you in Crete was that you would set in order what was unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. Appoint leaders, finish up all of the work, set things in order. Titus apparently had that gift of administration. We're going to finish up quickly with the last one. It says the gift of mercy. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Mercy is the gift to feel genuine empathy and compassion for people suffering physical, mental, or emotional problems, but to translate that into cheerfully done works reflecting Jesus' love. The best way that we see that is in Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. I just flipped away from that. But when a Samaritan on a journey came upon him, that is the man who was severely beaten, he looked at him and had compassion. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Take care of him, he said, and on my return I will repay you for any additional expense. This was the man who had mercy. In Matthew 20, the 2 blind men are shouting after Jesus, and it says Jesus stopped and he had compassion on them. That word there literally means he had mercy on them and he healed them. There was a couple at a church that we took part of. The pastor there was a prophet. He was a fiery prophet. And he was not pastoral in nature, really at all. I mean, he could preach, he could lead worship, and he was a prophet, and boy, did he let it go. But he was not pastoral, so he very wisely had this couple that he brought onto his staff, and they had the gift of mercy. And they would just go out and love people in the church. And they'd pray for people. And the wife, you'd always find her, she's over crying over somebody and praying and helping them. That empathetic, comforting spirit that can minister to a need. And can I say to you, I have watched people do that. And sometimes I feel guilty. Like, wow, I should be like that. Not if it's not your gift. I mean, everybody can have compassion, but not everybody's called to do that. Not everybody's called to give away all their money. Not everybody's called to be an administrator. Thank God for me, if you could see the top of my desk. If it's not your calling, then what you have to do is recognize there are gifts in the body, and God wants to fit you in the right spot. The devil wants to torment you and make you feel guilty for not being something that God hasn't called you to be. Father, we thank you today for the wonderful gifts that you give to the body. Father, and I thank you for the people in here as I'm sharing on these. In my own heart, I'm thinking, oh, that person, they're gifted that way. That person. But God, you speak and minister to hearts, Lord. You're the one that gifts people. You gift them, Lord. And in this season, I pray that you would just light that up in people's hearts, Father, and that you would help them to find the expression of the gift of the Holy Spirit within them. Father, as much as we're asking for you to pour out your wonderful supernatural gifts, Lord, there are these gifts also that help us to operate and function as the body of Christ. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to have both of our hands, both of our feet, our eyes, our ears, our senses, Lord, help us, Father, that we could have all of the body of Christ. And Lord, where our body can fellowship with another body, where maybe another part of your body of Christ is functioning, help us in that way too, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would let the body of Christ arise in the world today to reach the world with the gospel. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. If you're here today and you have a need, we would love to pray for you. We believe in healing. We believe in deliverance. We believe in salvation. We believe in the filling of the Holy Spirit. We would love to pray for you. If not, then may you have a wonderful, blessed Thanksgiving. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, protect everyone who's traveling on the highways, Lord. I understand there are times where the weather might not be great. Protect people who are out in the woods hunting today and over the next few days. And God, we pray that Thanksgiving would be a time where your people could shine like lights to the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. And please remember the Thanksgiving service tonight at the Methodist Church if you want to come.